Against the Grain Radio Show with your host, Nona Sam, live now.
Hello, everybody. How is everyone doing today? I hope y'all are doing pretty good today. Our guest, Tara, will not be able to make it today. She messaged me about an hour ago telling me that a close family member is having a wedding this Saturday, and they were supposed to be doing a rehearsal, and everything is falling through with the venue location. So they are trying to currently work that out right now. So congratulations to the bride and groom, and I'm hoping that everything works out for you, because that would really suck if it didn't. So, for today, guys, I'm taking the opportunity, because I know a lot of you have been asking about my life a little bit lately, and there's been a lot of questions regarding living without ID and all that fun stuff. Living with all that AD and fun stuff, and I'll just kind of share with you guys a little bit of stuff that I've been doing lately. So far, I've gotten myself a library card. I've recently been stopped by the police while traveling, and yeah, it's been, I've got myself a new ID and stuff. So for this show, you can listen live www.freedomizerradio.com and click on Join Chat. If you go to the Join Chat option, you can chat with me live, ask me questions, that kind of stuff. I'll answer them to the best of my ability. Or if you want to call in at 319-527-6208, I can put you on there and we can chat, you and I. So I'm just going to throw this up on Facebook really quick. There we go. Wonderful. Okay, so I will start with my ID. Well, actually, I'll start with library card. So we have a local library. And I quite like going to the library. So when I went to the library, I guess if you don't have some sort of proof of address or something, what they can do is they can give you a fancy little card. You mail it to yourself, this postcard, and you give it back. So I went ahead and I did that. And everything was going smooth. And then about a month later, I went in to bring some stuff back, take some new stuff out, and I was told that my account got flagged because I had no ID. So that really sucked. So I went back. Well, she gave me the number of the head of the department. As somebody who's not in the system, everybody at the desk is really great, but be aware that when you actually have to deal with things, many, many times when you talk to people at the desk, they're going to have no idea what the hell you're talking about. I deal with this on a regular basis, especially when it comes to things that are needing any sort of ID at all. They'll ask for ID, and then you say, I don't have any, and then you show them what you got, and they'll look at you like somebody who has three eyeballs on their face. So a lot of times you have to go straight to department heads or any of that kind of fun stuff, because those are the people who make the rules, and those are the people who will know what you're talking about, or at least be able to make accommodations to your lifestyle. After the commercial, I'll bring up a couple things that somebody, if you listen to Edward Robin a while ago, he talks about like religious freedom, and there's Vienna Convention and stuff. I'll bring it up after the commercial. But anyway, going back, I called the head office for library card, and the lady wasn't in her office. There was a different lady taking her call. And she was instructed to give me a temporary card. Like, my account was set on temporary, but she instructed me to give me a community member status. So here where I live, you can get a regular library card that allows you to take out for X amount of time. I think it's like up to like 100 books or something at a time. Like it's quite a bare bit. You'll never take out that many. It's ridiculous to take out that many. But as a community member, you can only take out 4 items at a time. So DVDs, books, magazines, anything that the library has, you can only take out 4 at a time. So we live on a farm, and we're not too terribly far away, but we're not too terribly close either. I mean, it costs like $10, $15 round trip. And when you don't have a lot of money to begin with, you don't really make many, many trips. So, I mean, for myself, except for like this past week or so, I usually only leave the house once a week. And that's to do my wonderful radio show with you wonderful people. So I called back and I said, like, that I don't feel that's going to work for us because I intend on homeschooling my kids and we're going to need more than 4 things at a time. And we intend on using the library quite regularly. We intend on following the policies. If they give us late fees, we'll pay the late fees. Like, we are not, there's no intent to steal DVDs, especially, you know, DVDs or books or anything that's of high value currently. That's not the intent at all. I had a couple of friends, community members, even the librarian say that they would vouch for me. So she said that this head director will call me back. I called back the next day just because I didn't feel like waiting. I was a little impatient. I wanted to get it sorted out. And I did manage to get a hold of the director, and she was told everything that the assistant and I had talked about. And I asked her, like, is there any sort of community, like a notarized document or like a community member or like 5 community, like how many people do you need to come in and vouch that I am me, I am Samantha House of Buller Cormas, that is my title, that is what I go by, that is what everybody knows me as. What do you require that is not government issued ID that lets you know that I'm real, like I'm a breathing human being, I'm a breathing woman, you know, that I have no ill intent on using your materials. In fact, I actually had an old account, and I brought back all the materials before I even went and opened a different account because they hadn't respected my wishes to use the title that I had when I had just kind of started getting into these things. So she just required, she just said a notarized ID would be fine. So I was like, okay, great. So I'll go see a notary public and I will get an ID notarized for you guys. And I guess she had let the librarian at the branch that I usually go to know that this was our agreement and that it would be, once I sent it in, that I would be recognized as a regular user of material like library items and willing to respect the policies that they have set forth in place. So about a week, not quite a week, a few days later, because that was, I think it was on a Thursday or a Friday, I don't even remember anymore. A couple days, I went in the day after. I'm trying to remember my timeline, guys. This is a little while ago already. And I got mom brain, so I have got, like, no memory for the life of me. Anyway, it was shortly after that. I had created an ID to have notarized a while ago, actually. If you are listening and you go to Mika Razila, R-A-S-I-L-A, first name Mika, well, first title Mika, M-I-K-A. He has, his profile is public on Facebook, and he has a photo album called How I Claimed My Sovereignty. And I went and I kind of copied my ID off of his because that's the one he uses. He carries that and he carries, I think, a family photo. So that's his ID he's used for a long time. And, like, he's able to get hotel rooms. He's able to do whatever he needs with that ID because he has no other government-issued ID. So I copied that off of his, and I went down to a notary public. He was a really nice guy. Went in, told him that I needed a document notarized, and I've never notarized a document before, so this was quite new for me. It was quite new. I went in, he asked where to notarize it, and I told him, okay, this is where you need to notarize it, yada yada. Well, I didn't really tell him. I was just like, okay, this is the spot where it's supposed to be notarized. So he's like, okay, sounds good. So he does up the thing, and I'm kind of quiet. I'm just like, so I lost my track here. Give me a second, guys. Okay, so I'm sitting there, and we didn't really see much to begin with, but then after it was done, he stamped it with this thing that, like, made the print up, what the heck, the paper stand up. It was a really cool little thingy. And then when he was done, I told him that here's my ID, well, the one that was issued to me, like, the government-issued ID, the license. I said, like, I don't need this anymore. Do you want me to dispose of it? Do you want to keep it and cancel it? Like, what do you want to do with this thing? And he's just like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, I don't need it anymore. I have this new ID now, so I no longer need the license. And he just kind of gave me a really funny look, and he's just like, are you sure you want to do that? And I was like, well, yeah, that's kind of why I came, kind of thing. I mean, he was nice. He wasn't rude at all. I even made a joke. The look on his face, I was like, you're probably just thinking, what the fuck are you doing, girl? This is going to be crazy. So he told me that he had one other person come in and try to do this, and then they realized, like, they came in with the documents and all this other stuff, got it signed with a notary, and he said a couple days later this person called back, because they realized that once they did whatever they did, and they gave up their license, they couldn't drive anymore. So they called and asked for their license back. So why they would go ahead and do that without realizing the full implications of their actions, especially asking for a notary to sign it, is beyond me. But I told him, and he looked at me and he said, you realize you can't drive anymore, right? And I said, yes, I know. And he said, you know, because you got a Class A license. I was like, yeah. I was like, I did. And he said that once it's gone, it's going to be really hard to get back. And I was like, yeah, I know. I was like, I don't require it anymore. So I'm waiving the benefits of it. And thank you very much. But I won't be needing it from this point forward. And he told me that he would hold on to it, and he asked me to call back a couple of days later just to make sure that I wanted to be rid of it before, you know, he wanted me to make sure that I was sure that I wanted to get rid of it before he got rid of it, like before he would call in and terminate the contract of the license and that kind of stuff. And I told him, yeah, it's like, yeah, I can call. I was like, I won't need to, but I mean, I can if you really want me to. I mean, I'm pretty firm in my stance, and while I'm not highly educated, I know enough that I don't really need it anymore. So I said thank you, and he was quite polite, and I left with my new ID, giggity giggity, and I got in my car and I went away. And it was super fun. So after that, like, it's been a couple weeks. I haven't had any issues. I don't usually travel as much as I have been. So on Monday, I had my first encounter with the police. And I'll tell you what, that was really scary, but really interesting at the same time. It was a massive learning experience for me, so please, for the record, I'm not bragging about this. I'm simply sharing what happened because I learned a lot from this experience, and I just want others to learn from this experience, kind of to show what happened. It was a very interesting thing. So I was going down the highway towards a town of a friend that I was going to be visiting. Oh, and please be aware that I'm not going to be releasing names just because I would rather keep names confident or confidential or whatever the hell that word is. I can't think right now. So I was going down the highway, and I was going to turn in the south entrance of town, and then I was going to, in order to be able to do that, like, had I done that, this entire thing could have been avoided. But it would have also meant that I probably would have caused a collision with the car behind me because I was in the right lane, he was in the left. So I pulled back over into the right, and then I sped up a little bit so I wouldn't cause a problem, and then got back over in the left because I was going to turn the north entrance down, and this car got real close behind me. I was like, oh, fuck, this is going to be a fucking cop. This is going to be a motherfucking cop. How much you want to bet? And, yep, I turned into town, and I see this cop slow down, and he pulled across the highway boulevard, that grass spot there, and I was just like, oh, I'm so screwed. Oh, I didn't want to do this today. Not today. Because I was on my way to a friend's house to start practicing for childbirth classes coming up this weekend, actually. I'm quite nervous for those, but I'm quite excited at the same time. And, yeah, lights go on, they're behind me, and I was like, okay, pull into town, because at least if I'm in town, I'm off the road and I have to get out of my car for any reason, then my kids won't get fucking smoked by a car or some shit. Okay, pull into town, pull into Main Street. And this officer gets out of his car, walks up to my car, and he just, first thing he says to me, not even hello, is just license and registration. I was like, oh, shit, I hope this is going to be a nice guy, because, like, I'm nervous as fuck right now. So I told him I don't have a registration car, but I have a bill of sale because my other gave me the car, beginning of April we wrote out a bill of sale? So I have one. It just wasn't with me in the car. And I said, but I have my ID. So I gave him my ID, and he just kind of looked at me, and he's just like, do you have anything else? I was like, no, that's it. That's all I got. He went back to his car, and he was at his car for about 20 minutes. Or so, 20 minutes, half an hour. It was a long time. So my little guy was starting to get a little squawky. And took him out of the car seat. The car was pulled over. I wasn't going nowhere. There's no way in hell I was going to fucking take my car and scoot off with a cop behind me, especially in town. I didn't feel like dying that day. So I took my little guy out of his car seat because he was squawking, started nursing and stuff, and the cop came back up to the window, and he's just like, oh, well, this isn't in my system, yada, yada. He's like, do you have anything else? I was like, no, that's all I got, you know, like, that's, you know, and we started talking back and forth, and I tried explaining who I was and what I did, and he didn't allow me to explain. He kept telling me that was an argument for the courts kind of thing, to bring that stuff forward for the court. And I didn't really, at the time, I didn't want to bring it forward to court. Like, I tried explaining to him later on the conversation that was the case. So he just kind of was like, why do you want to do this kind of thing? And I was like, well, religious purposes. I said, does that make sense? And he's just like, no, not really. So I was like, okay. He goes back to his car. Comes back and he's like, listen, we're going to be writing you a ticket today because you broke the Traffic Act. And I was like, well, I mean, I tried explaining that I've read the Traffic Act. I mean, I've read these acts and statutes like this. For anybody listening, that's generally what I do on a regular basis, is talk on Facebook about these kinds of things, or I'm reading about these kinds of things, or watching videos about these kinds of things. And just, I'm no member of the bar. I'm in no position to give legal advice whatsoever. But, I mean, I do have a better understanding than the common average Joe about these kinds of things. So, yeah, we kept going back and forth, and he kept trying to tell me that either, because he was talking that, like, you know, how do I put this? We got onto the topic of conversation that I used to have a juridical person, but I no longer use it anymore. And he's like, well, who were you used to be? Because that name I can use. And they said, well, I can't release that name, yada, yada. Kept going back and forth. And he was saying, like, listen, all I need is, like, the last name of who you used to have. Because you used to have a license, yes. And I was like, well, I had one issued to me, but I don't use it anymore. I don't affiliate myself with that name anymore. Just give me a second here, guys. Actually, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to chat a bit more about this. So, 5 minutes, guys. We will be right back.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So, Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Are you looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Solutions to Delusions. How do you do this? Well, join me every Friday night on the Delusion Solution radio show from 6 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 to 12 midnight Eastern Time right here on the Freedomizer Network, where we will be discussing and discerning the times by making sense of current events and bringing to light much-needed topics. Our call-in number is 347-324-3704 to listen in. Watching with your ears and listen with your eyes. I'm your host, Tara Dawn, and I'll see you there.
Thank you. Join me, Chris Levels, the host of Politics and Prophecy on FreedomizerRadio.com, the show that seeks to educate instead of indoctrinate. Enlighten those that seek knowledge and truth while exposing lawlessness and wickedness within our society. Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is the time you can join me and my guest on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hey guys, it is Sam, host of Against the Grain. So we are back, and we're just kind of talking about the shit that I've been doing lately, especially in regards to sovereignty and opening up the lines or chat box. If you head to www.freedomizerradio.com or you go to, for www.freedomizerradio.com, click on Join Chat. There's a chat box there. You can type any comments, any questions, that kind of stuff. Or if you call in 319-527-6208, you can push 1 to get on air and we can have a chat. So I was just kind of talking a little bit about getting stopped on Monday and left off to this cop telling me that he wanted the last name of the theoretical person he was seeking in order to be able to issue a ticket. And I asked him, like, can you just issue a ticket in the ID that I've given you? And he said, no, that's not sufficient. You're not in our system, so we cannot issue your ticket. And he told that to my face a few times. He told me straightforward that because Samantha House of Bullock Cormas does not have a juridical person, is therefore not in the system, and therefore they cannot issue that individual a ticket. I found that kind of flat out interesting. I was like, okay, well, I mean, he wants to issue me a ticket, but he can't do it because I'm not in his system. He just admitted that to me about four or five times. But he kept starting to push a little bit for my either giving the last name of the juridical person that I used to use, or he would be taking me in. He would be detaining me and taking me in. So he told me that I better get a hold of somebody to take my kids because we were going to be going in. And I asked him, I said, like, how long would we be there? He said, till we can identify you. And I said, well, I gave my ID. I've given you my ID. This is what I use. If you call anybody or get a hold of anybody, that's who they know me as. That's how I operate. But he said that wasn't sufficient. So going back and forth, he told me that I could be detained indefinitely because I asked for clarification. I said, like, if we can't find out who I am because I won't release the person you're seeking, how long am I going to be there? He said, well, we don't know. I said, so I could be there for a long time? Like, I could be there for weeks, months? Like, I could be there indefinitely? He's like, well, if that's what we need to do. And I was like, holy smokes. Okay, this guy means serious a little bit. But got on the phone with the supervisor, and we talked back and forth, and his supervisor wasn't hearing it either. He just told me, give the name of the person or you'll be coming in. So I was like, well, shit, okay. My sister came down the road, and he took her to the car to try and get her to release the name. He tried calling my other to try and getting him to release the name. And I wanted to give him that last name because I had a feeling that nothing was going to come of it simply because the license that I used to use was canceled already. There was no contracting instrument for him to be able to write a ticket to. The license he was seeking for the person that he was looking for no longer existed. Well, the person still exists in their system, but the license is no longer a thing. It had been sent in and canceled when I went to go get my ID. Going back and forth, he just was not willing to budge. It had been like an hour and a half at this point. I asked him then, because I saw Linda, or my sister, had her phone. I asked her to use her phone because my phone didn't have service, and this cop wouldn't allow me to use his phone. He would call somebody and put it on speakerphone so we could both hear. I wasn't allowed to release his number because I was, you know, due to work purposes, which I understand. it wasn't able to be released. So I asked her to use her phone really quick to get a hold of my counsel, Mika. He is an incredible man. He has taught me so much about being sovereign, and I just wanted to get his opinion quick before I went ahead and did anything further, because I had a feeling that if I would have just given the juridical person they were seeking from the beginning, this wouldn't have taken almost 2 hours, but I wasn't quite sure. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just get his second opinion really quick just to see what was going, what I should do kind of thing. So I messaged him on Facebook really quick, and we went through the things, like, you know, did you give him the ID, yada, yada, did you tell him, okay, yeah, okay. He wasn't having it. He just wanted to give me a ticket and get on my way. So I was like, okay, I released the information that the person he was seeking, this was the last name that I was an agent for, and the cop was very willing to cooperate with me at that point when he came back to the car and was like, okay, these are going to be your options. And I was like, okay, like, no, like, okay, I'll give you the last name, but please make a note of it that is not how I want to be, you know, addressed. This is just because you're not willing to go any other way. Here, just take it, write me a ticket, and we can both be on our way, because we're both starting to get a little frustrated, because it's like plus 30 degrees out here, and my air conditioning didn't work terribly well. So he was very willing to cooperate, and then I spelled out the last name for the person he was seeking, and he said he was willing to take notes about those kinds of things and yada yada, and he double-checked on the spelling. He double-checked on the spelling, and my sister was standing right there. And he went back to his car, and she said that she saw him pull up the information on the screen about the person that he was seeking. And he was back in his car for like another, I don't know, 10 minutes or so when he came and he gave me a ticket. And so he told me, like, you got to be at this place. Like, you can either pay the ticket through this XYZ, or you can come to this place at this time and go to court, essentially, and debate the ticket or whatever. And right as he was going to leave, he came back out and he said, oh, sorry, I gave you the wrong place. It's in the wrong town. Here, this is the one for the right town. So I'm like, okay. So he goes back to his car, prints off another one, gives it back to me. So I'm like, okay. I didn't even bother looking at this point because it was getting hot. And I was like, oh, God, I just need my little girl was crying. She needed a drink. So I was like, okay, let's just take my kids down to the grocery store. I have like $1.50. I'll get her a drink. And, we got the car moved and all that fun stuff because he said because the car is legally parked, it can stay there, and you can just either license the car and get somebody with a valid driver's license to drive it, or you can get a towed or get a trailer or whatever. Basically, you're not allowed to drive your own car. Somebody else got to do it for you. So I took my little girl down to the grocery store, and he ended up on his way back because he had to take my friend to go get her son from the bus. He offered to take her on the way back. He asked me if I was going to be okay, if he needed a ride anywhere. I was like, no, I'm good. Thank you, though. I mean, this guy was nice. He even gave my kids stickers. And I ended up looking at the ticket later after we had gone to my sister's house for a coffee. And the funny thing about this ticket was it had some wrong information on it. Because there was no licensing instrument to which he could write a ticket to contract with, the information on it was not correct. So in the end, it was 2 hours, about an hour and three quarters, just kind of wasted of us butting heads because he refused to accept my ID and write out a ticket in that title versus wanting the name. But either way, I mean, we got my car home. The kids were safe. The kids were fine. The cop was very good about my kids. He kept checking in to make sure that, you know, the kids weren't overheated or if they were doing okay or any of that kind of fun stuff. So it was a massive learning experience in that way. Because out of everything that I've learned so far and I've done so far, this entire experience proved to be true. They often, like, if you listen to anybody that talks about if you do not consent to the contract or whatever, yada yada, then they can't really nail you for anything. So, I mean, we could have ended up with a crappy cop on a bad day, but we ended up with a fairly understanding cop just trying to do his job. Not having the license for him to be able to write a ticket to, because that was one of the biggest things, is, like, he probably thought that I was lying the whole time, that I was lying about who I was, what I do, any of that kind of stuff. And then when he looked on his screen and realized, oh, shit, this chick isn't lying, probably, like, he came back and he was really nice. He was a lot more willing to be hearing what I had to say after that, after he realized that I wasn't fucking around, I wasn't lying, that I no longer have an ID, and I told, or like a government-issued ID, because I told him, I said I sent it back. I told him I no longer use things like health cards, SIN numbers, any of that kind of stuff. I told him I don't have a driver's license anymore. Like, I sent it back because I told him I don't need it anymore. So when he saw it on the screen, that, yeah, it was legit that I did send it back because it was no longer active. I mean, he told me that, yeah, you do have one. It's like, well, that's not possible because I sent it back. They canceled it. It's no longer valid, and that was made true by the ticket that he wrote me. It was a good learning experience in that way, just to kind of prove that everything that I had been taught, everything that I had researched, everything that I had learned so far up until this point was true. This is not the kind of thing that if you have a driver's license, especially one that is up to date, been renewed and that kind of stuff, you don't want to just put it on your table with a car and just, like, go traveling around and be like, oh yeah, well, I didn't, you know, I don't have it anymore. I didn't consent to this or that kind of stuff. Like, no, if you've got a driver's license and you've got a registered vehicle, if you haven't sent it back or canceled it, if it's still something that you carry or it's still something that's being used, don't do it. 'Cause you will get yourself in a hot mess real fucking fast, because if you tell them, I don't have a contract with you guys, and then they go to run your information, and it turns out you do have a driver's license or any of this fun stuff, you're going to get in some real shit. Cops already believe that you're lying to them, because they're taught not to trust you in cop school, so then to actually, you know, show those colors that you're a liar, and, you're just talking big because you don't want a ticket, is not going to work out for you at all. You're going to get a nice big ticket. I think this ticket was like $580 or something. So, yeah, it was a real kick-ass experience. It's something that I was quite happy with the way it went, and I now know going forward that if they come up and they ask for driver's license and registration, because I put the bill of sale in the car now. I put the bill of sale in the car now. So now I have that available if a cop wants it. And I can just tell them, like, I give them my ID first, and if they come back and say, well, that's not enough, it's like, okay, well, then here's the last name you're speaking. Write a ticket out to that. And we'll both be on our way. And if you don't want me driving the car, okay, that's cool. Then I'll just grab a tow truck and I'll take it home and any of that kind of stuff. I've also got some ID, like some license plates and stuff that are coming soon that are not, because I guess in Saskatchewan now they have these fancy cameras on the car, because he told my sister that they have cameras on the car and stuff now, that when they're driving down the road, they can just read the license plate and it'll come up on the screen if it's registered or not, and that's how he nailed me. So, working to fix that a little bit. Everywhere is grid, but sometimes you need to use the highways if the grids suck. And, like, places in the city and town and stuff, depending on the place, they don't have a lot of grids. So it would be nice to just not have to be pulled over every time I try to leave my house and deal with this and the threat of having my car stolen, because not all cops are going to be this nice. That's another thing that I learned is I get heated right away oftentimes. Like, I'm not good with confrontation at all. When somebody confronts me with something, like, I get hot right away. Like, I just, my anxiety goes, I get, like, oh my God, I go into fight or flight mode, like, right away. And I was able to keep my cool this time, for the most part. Like, I didn't even swear once, guys. If you listen to my radio show for any amount of time, I didn't even swear one time at this cop. I didn't even swear under my breath. I was very nice, to this cop. Like, I, even when the kids were asking, well, what are we doing, can we go to auntie's house, can we go to the store, can we go home, I was like, we're talking to this nice police officer, we have to wait for this nice man to run to do some stuff, we just, you know. And I was very cordial, very, like, polite, like, very anytime I asked them something, I it was a please and a thank you. It wasn't like, I wasn't kissing ass by any means, but I was just very straightforward and not a dink, because cops have guns. And at the end of the day, if you're going to mouth off and you get shot, it's going to be in the cop's favor. So just a note to anybody out there, don't be a dink to cops, because they've got guns, you don't. Any of that kind of fun stuff. So it's been, I've just been continuing my studies and things lately. Just kind of doing some more research into contracts and stuff. My studies are never ending. I feel like I've just scraped the surface. I always feel like I've just scraped the surface with anything that I do. I don't know near as much yet, but I'm growing and I'm learning and going through these experiences, having gone through three different experiences in such a short time now, and having them validated that the things that I preach or the things that I practice, and they're both aligning with my values, and just putting your money where your mouth is. I think that's the phrase. It's been very enlightening to know that I'm not on the wrong path. Indeed, I am very much on the right path, and that's been good, especially when people ask me questions. Actually, I opened this up today. If anybody's listening right now, if you click to the join chat, I've had quite a lot of people asking, well, how do you work? How do you do that? Yada, yada, yada. And if you guys are online right now and you have any questions, I'll just go through some of the basics of things that I've learned, things I've experienced, things I've been told, starting with how do you drive? That seems to be one of the most common questions that I get, especially, you know, having gone through what I did this week. How do I drive? Well, I mean, quite simply, I get in my car and go. I turn the key, I push the gas, and I go. I've had good training way back when I, you know, got a license. I've never been in an accident. In fact, any accident I've ever been in, people have rear-ended me because some idiot in front of me tried to cut me off or any of that stuff. Funny enough, I've always been the one rear-ended, because I don't know, like, after I ditched using a license altogether, I don't know if I was just more aware or, like, the universe was trying to tell me something that, like, people are just crazy, but, like, oh my God, people drive like they are fucking insane. Like, they drive like they're drunk, and, like, half time I wonder if they're drunk because of how crazy they drive. And it just kind of makes you wonder, like, what's the purpose of insurance if, like, you know, if you're just going from point A to B, and like people are just fucking dangerous out there, and it's like, oh, I got insurance, I'm immune to, you know, any accidents or any of that kind of stuff. It's like, no. I mean, people gotta fucking pay attention. I intend on saving some money and getting some cameras in my car for this purpose, because honestly, like, it's I don't know if it's just because of where I live or what, but like, people on the coast say that like people over here are fucking psycho. So I intend on getting some cameras, so if something like that ever did happen and I did slam on my brakes not to hit somebody and then get rear-ended or something, at least I have proof for their insurance company if anything did happen that indeed it wasn't my fault. I'm pretty freaking safe when I go. I don't speed. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't go crazy. I follow all the road rules. I don't run red lights. Just because you don't have government ID doesn't mean you should be a psycho simply because you can. I mean, the whole point of it is do no harm. And some of these rules are in place because, yeah, they're actually based on safety. I mean, there's a red sign that says don't go because it's in the middle of a traffic stop. Don't go, because if you do, there's a good chance you could get hit. You could die. So prevent that as much as you can. So when you look at wording, if you do any sort of research in legal terms, words like drive, words like transport, words like vehicle, words like passenger, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if you just pop up on a Black's Law Dictionary, if it's online, you can find one online. I have my 5th edition sitting right below, right beside me. Get either 5th edition and down, because a lot of the newer ones have all that statute bullshit in it. A lot of case law. You don't want case law, you want things like common law, law of the land versus statute garbage. Unless they're being held to their own statutes, which don't apply to you if you don't have any government-issued ID or anything. So you just kind of look up those things, and I've read the Traffic Act, and it doesn't define what a person is. It doesn't really define outside of what a commercial term driver is. So clearly, when you sign on to a license here anyway, you sign on to following the Traffic Act in order to get insurance, because around here we literally have one insurance company, and that insurance company wants you to sign on with a license that makes you follow the Traffic Act in order for them to insure you. So it's kind of that ensnaring game. They turn you from your private capacity into a commercial capacity for being able to go from point A to B, and then suddenly it's their car through registration, because it means registering means defer to the Crown, and when you're using their property, they want you to have insurance in case you slip up, and then they're not liable, and et cetera, et cetera. It's all that fun stuff. I won't get too deep in that today, but because there's only about like 39 minutes left. And, yes, there will be, I'll hop off right away really quick, and then I will let, the last 30 minutes, I'll let people talk. Mika's on right now, and he'd be more than willing to talk, and if anybody wants to ask questions, he's the guy that teaches me. So I'm going to hop off really quick. I'm going to do a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to open back up for the last 30 minutes. And if you guys are listening, Mika's right there, and this guy has taught me, like, holy fuck, to put it very nicely. He is a walking... Well, like, I can't even begin to, like, scratch the surface of how much stuff this guy knows. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back. And if you guys have any questions, Mika and I are more than happy to answer them. So we'll be right back.
You never know when an emergency is going to happen. Whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. Join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are You Ready? Saturdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Listen to Are You Ready here on Freedomizer Radio, and be prepared. Do you want to live a happy and healthy barefoot lifestyle? Join Barefoot is Legal Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time, to learn your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. There are no laws against bare feet in public, and we are here to dispel the myths and empower you to stand up for your rights. Join full-time barefooter and victims legal advocate Nick Pierce on Freedomizer Radio or the Barefoot is Legal radio show Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific, and check out barefootislegal.org.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
You're an activist. You have a cause and an idea, but you also have lots of questions. You need help. After all, teams have coaches. Corporations have consultants, and even politicians have campaign managers. But who do activists turn to? The Solutions Institute. We are a collection of professionals and activists from across the political spectrum. Our goal is to teach, motivate, and put all the necessary tools for activism in your hands without charge. Learn more or submit your project at solutions-institute.org.
Yeah, I get it. Your parents were jerks and you're traumatized. But that doesn't mean you should use your lousy childhood as an excuse to be a lousy adult. Stop being such a whiner and get past your past already. Buy Get Over It and Get Started, the book by Melanie Hope that will get you out of your self-imposed failure and on the road to greatness. Available in paperback, Kindle, and Nook.
Hey guys, it is Sam, host of Against the Grain, and I've got a very special somebody for you for the last 30 minutes here. His name is Mika, and this man is my mentor. He's my counsel. He is like one of the people that I go to for so much. You there, Mika?
Can you hear me?
There. I can hear you. Oh, my God. That's so awesome that you're here.
Good. Good. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm very proud of how you dealt with that. You did that really well.
Thank you. You make me cry over
I mean, it's so important to remember that these police have a mandate, and they do have a job to do. As a sovereign, you have to always maintain a very diplomatic status with them, and you did that really well. So,
man, that is just thank you so much. It was very very nerve-wracking. I mean, it wasn't so much scary; it was just very like, holy crap, how do I do this and do it right the first time? So,
yeah, the first couple times that I got pulled over, I was scared shitless. I didn't know how things were going to go, what was going to happen. They stole a van one time. But then you go to court, and once they realize that you are, in fact, sovereign, in fact, do not have any ID or anything that they can charge, they will have no choice but to accommodate you in that courtroom. And once you realize that, you're so empowered by it, not to ever get cocky or stupid about it. You know, it's just, you are now a diplomat within Canada, and they will flag you as such in their computer. And every time that they pull you over, they're going to have that they see you now as being above what they are and what the regular population is, because they don't want to have people out here that can't take care of themselves. When they see someone that is fully responsible for themselves, they like that. They want that. They don't want a bunch of crackheads. They don't want a bunch of people driving around, like you were saying earlier, about running through red lights and different things, you know, you're fully responsible for yourself. And what they really know, like underneath, is that that's what they want. They want people to be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we don't use insurance and all the rest of the stuff that isn't a bondable statute to begin with. If you look it up, it's an unbondable statute, so they can't really charge you for it because it would be a racketeering charge for a sitting judge to do that. And I won a case on that exact same principle. I think it was my third pullover. So after that, they haven't charged me with insurance because they know that if I take it to court, I'm going to make them look silly with that. And they know that.
Mm-hmm.
So many various things that they just don't tell you. These are things they won't tell you. How much time you got?
I have got about 30 minutes.
Oh, really? Oh, nice.
But I'll
okay,
ask
well,
the...
I don't want to sit here.
Sorry?
I don't want to sit here and just talk. I mean, you should continue with your story of what happened.
Yeah, well, I even remember going back on your whole racketeering and stuff. I remember telling the police officer, I said that I've tried going into SGI and I've tried getting insurance. I've tried a couple different places and they won't give it to me unless I have a license. I said if I had, if they would give me registration, I would absolutely give it to you, but they won't contract with me if I don't have a license.
Right, I've told that to the police many times. They say, well, you don't have insurance. I said, well, I would, if the contract was something that I wanted to participate in, then I would certainly have insurance, but they won't contract with me. So how can I be forced to have something that they won't give me?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes this pretty simple sense, right? It's all contracts.
Yeah.
Everything's contracts.
Mm-hmm.
If they won't contract with me, oh well. That's their problem, not mine.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So, but yeah, it was quite an interesting experience. I'm quite looking forward to going through and seeing what else I've got in store for me this next little while. I feel like this is just kind of putting me through the ringer, and right now it's just kind of been answering people's questions, things for basic common questions. I had a lot of questions on the thread that I posted a video just kind of explaining what happened, because I probably scared the pants off of a lot of you guys unintentionally. But I don't have a smartphone. I only have a flip phone. So when I borrowed my sister's phone, that's the only access that I had. But just kind of, that was one of the first questions that people like to ask is, well, how do you drive from point A to point B? And as I was explaining before, I get in my car and I go. That's what I do, is I get in my car, I turn the key, I go, I obey, you know, I don't speed like I'm insane. I don't like run stop signs. I don't do any of that crazy shit because I like to live and I like the people around me to live. That kind of stuff. I've had questions like, well, how do you go to school? Right now I have many careers that don't require schooling. I'm a doula. You don't even need any schooling at all to be a doula, but that doesn't mean you're going to be a good doula in any way. It's kind of good if you actually know what you're doing for your job. So a class or two isn't going to be that bad of a thing. I crochet barefoot sandals for people. I love crocheting and I love barefoot sandals, so I've started doing that. I will be starting to teach childbirth classes coming up. I find a lot of the childbirth classes that are out there are quite lacking on things like the fourth trimester or things regarding postpartum mood disorders or the idea of having your village or any of that kind of stuff. So I've kind of built a more, I wouldn't say, it's not not mainstream, but it's more curtailed to those who value traditional values, who don't just want to put their baby in daycare and go back to work. Nothing, not to say there's anything against that. If you want to do that, by all means, I mean, it's your life. You do whatever you feel you need to do. But this is more for people who value kind of a traditional view of motherhood, you know, not working for a month after minimum, like having people come and look after you, like having that village. It takes a village to raise a child, and they aren't kidding about that. It takes a village to look after a mother, too. I know Mika has experience of having to go to school, and I correct me if you're wrong, but I believe that you went to school and you appealed to the Privy Council of the school, yes?
I went to school. I spent 4 years in college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've done it, because that seems to be one of the... Sorry?
Sorry?
I was going to say, I know you've gone, like, to college, because that seems to be one of the questions that so many people ask, is like, well, how do I go to university, or how do I go to college, or, you know, how do I go to post-secondary school?
At the time, I was still fully involved in the system at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't decide to completely remove myself from the system until after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
It was that insult that pushed me over the edge. I could no longer morally accept any of what the government or TV told me at that point. That was it for me. I never had a birth certificate when I was it was easy for me to drop out because nothing was ever created from anything that was real.
Hmm.
My parents didn't do that. But anyone can drop out. It's all contracts. Once you come to the age of consent or the age of knowing anything, you know, you're 16, whatever, 13. If you're a bright 11-year-old, you know, and you realize that the system is corrupt and whatever, you can drop out. It doesn't matter when. As long as you know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone can drop out.
Mm-hmm.
But going through juvenile and different things and learning law when I was young, you know, it all came to me very quickly that, you know, and then going through college and understanding sociology, which my main thing was deviant group dynamics, meaning cops,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the gang stuff, like cops, like government, you know, all that stuff. You can when you really look at it, I mean, that's all they are. They're just a bunch of gangs. They all have their own little rules that they live by, and they take from everybody. It's an extortion racket. It's racketeering.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to participate. That's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide that you don't want to participate in it, the cops know. It's like going back to what you were saying earlier about the cop, you know, needing to see the ID and all this other stuff. It's true, they do. They need to see it. They need to have a charging instrument. They need to be able to make money. And if they can't make money, what's the point for them? Nothing. And what are they going to do? Shoot you? And then they got a bunch of paperwork they got to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
And that's what it's all about. It's all about the money.
Yep.
And like you said, you got to be really nice to these people because they're not the brightest people in the world, and they got guns. So you just always be nice, always be firm with what you're saying and what you're doing, and they'll typically just leave you alone because, you know, they can't do anything. They don't want to kill anybody, I don't think. You know, then they got to sleep at night. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, typically they're just going to let you go 13 times in 10 years. Pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
They always let me go.
Yeah, This is my first time in a year and a half now since I hadn't renewed my license. Well, not mine, but the one that was, you know, it's been a year and a half, and 2 weeks ago I went and got rid of it. 2-3 weeks ago. So it was good timing on my part.
I'd like to see you start making some of those cannabis hats.
Those cannabis hats. Yeah, I've actually, I just got to find like a pattern or something for like a toque, because I've never done like those crocheting and those, like, you know, those blankets and things. Like, I've never done an actual picture before in any sort of, I've made a picture of like my crocheting, but I've never done like a picture in like something plain. So I'm definitely, I'm looking for like hat patterns and toque patterns to kind of modify to put like a picture or something in it, with crocheting. Mm-hmm. So I, when you suggested that, I thought that was so cool. I was like, oh my God, why, I need to do that, especially being in Canada where it's freaking cold as balls around here. I mean, minus 40, you're going to wear a toque. So, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like you make it's a big market. I mean, think about it. You know, all these Rasta guys. I mean, just do those like rainbow hats that they wear all the time. They wear them all summer.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll have to, I just need to get my hands on a pattern for one, or make a pattern.
Well,
either way.
I mean, we're going back to sovereignty, aren't we? You know, with like, you have to make a living. I mean, people always ask, how do you make a living if you don't have a SIN number? You work. You have to figure it out. You have to do something. You have to know what you're good at and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make a living out of it. Whatever it is, you know, you have no hand-ups. You know, nobody's helping you with anything. You know, the government's not going to give you welfare. They can't.
Nope.
You know, there's no help. So if you can't survive, you're going to die. It's really simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how they get you too. I mean, that's how they keep you enslaved. You know, by offering you benefits. But when the benefits outweigh the liabilities, you're screwed. You know, you have to make a choice. You know, you have to make a choice. And I made that choice. You've made that choice. I know a lot of other people that have made that choice. And now it's just a matter of how many people really just can't put up with what they're being dealt anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all willing, they're all available to make that choice. I'd like to see everyone make that choice. I know that's not possible. I mean, I don't want this to sound arrogant or anything, but a lot of people just don't have the capacity to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to take the time, you know, away from their TVs and away from their games and whatever else that they do to study enough to be able to walk into a courtroom with confidence and win.
Mm-hmm.
With a principled integrity and with a principled objection to what the government is trying to sell them. You know, I have a moral objection to everything that the government does, and that's what my whole basis is. You know, if they try to take me into court, I morally object to everything you guys are telling me because I know it's all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to start somewhere. It has to come from some deeper place. It can't just be because, you know, you got a bunch of debt and you're broke and, you know, you need to find a way to not have to pay debts and pay license fees and whatever. It's got to come from some place that really matters.
Mm-hmm.
When I started this, I just sold a house. So I just got on the road and I was doing my construction business really well. You know, it wasn't like I was broke. I just couldn't do it anymore. I was done. After you've seen so many lies and you've just had enough.
Yep, absolutely. When I kind of started doing this thing, I was actually working corrections, funny or not. It's like, Sam, you're such an anarchist, yet you're working at the place where everybody gets dumped when they've broken the law.
Yeah, you quit that. And you quit that for the same reason, right? You sort of quit that for the same reason, right? Hello?
Yeah, it's I couldn't do it anymore. It's like I would go to my job every day, and like when you see a 70-year-old man, 70, 75-year-old man in on a DUI, his little old lady wife is coming in and bringing him pops and chips. Like, what are you even doing here, man? Like, are you serious? You're in jail because you drove. I mean, I'm not condoning anybody traveling in their car drunk because that's really fucking stupid. But to have to go to jail for, like, half a year over that, like, really? Really? I mean, I worked in the temporary dorm quite often. They would open up the gym for, because on weekends, generally over weekends, the jail would get very overfull with people who are in on intermittent charges or intermittent sentencing. So they would go home all week, and then they would come back on the weekend and serve their time. I mean, I had a family member who was doing that. He went to go rescue my grandma because she was having health problems, but because of his prior convictions and stuff with the law, they didn't give him even the benefit of the doubt. They're like, oh, we caught you in your car with no license, a suspended license and no registration, so we're going to throw you in jail on the weekends for like half a year. It's like, really? Like, it's wasting space, it's wasting tax dollars, it's wasting all this stuff. And I mean, people are in there on like smoking dope and like all this other just really petty shit. And it's like, really? Like, how can I be here preaching freedom and preaching morals and doing all this stuff, but then show up at work, have to put on a suit, and order everybody around? Because that's not who I am at all. I don't like ordering people around. I don't like telling people what to do. I don't like doing this stuff, especially in the name of the law. It's like, I felt like Jekyll and Hyde every time I was going to work. It's like my stomach would drop that I would walk into this place. And there's good men and women working there. I had a lot of good coworkers that knew what they knew, that the system was bullshit and it was set up for failure. And, like, it's just, it was, I have nothing very many, like, not too many good things to say about it. But, I mean, another day, but it was a job. It paid well. And they could help a person or two while they were in there. But it's like, I remember messaging you, and I was like, I didn't want to tell anybody my job. I just felt so fucking ashamed that I was working where I was working. Because when I applied, I was like, okay, like, it sound more social worky. And I was like, okay, great, I can go in there. I can do case planning. And, I mean, I might have to carry around some handcuffs in case, like, you know, somebody's being a little bit belligerent and, like, I need to help out a little bit. Okay, I can do that. Like, let's get people healed and let's get them back into, you know, like, society with, you know, a better life. You know, and being a little alternative, you know, might sneak a few things in here or there to tell people, you know, there's more to life than just working and paying bills. That kind of stuff, when I showed up, it was literally like a corrections officer that did a little bit of casework. And when I showed up at the actual job, I was quite let down with the job description and by what people were telling me, that I would literally show up and just boss everybody around. I was an overpaid babysitter, to put it very nicely in their words. Actually, shortly after I sent in my resignation. I should have did a little better than I did. I sent it in on a day's notice because everything in my core was saying don't go back, just don't do it. And it's just after I sent in my notice, I noticed they changed the job descriptions. Before they had corrections worker, and then shortly after that, whenever they threw up job description, like, to apply, was corrections officer, and I noticed the outline for the actual job description itself was vastly different, because I remember putting in my resignation that I was very disappointed, because I thought this was going to be, like, social work, and I would be making social changes and stuff, and instead I was roped in to be a guard, and that's not what I wanted at all. So I noticed they definitely changed a lot of that. And after that, I just started going more and more deep into the rabbit hole. I wanted to go in when I was in university, but, I mean, I just kind of talked myself out of it. And here I am. I can't fucking do it anymore. Like, I just, we don't even get money for the kids. The kids aren't registered. It makes things a little hard some days, but, I mean, I'm getting our family set up to do things like homesteading, to grow all the things we need over summer so that we can have freezers and, you know, a cold storage space of food over the winter. So, I mean, so we're not spending, I think right now we spend like maybe $50 to $100 a month on groceries, and that's things like flour, that's things like butter currently, but I'm getting my hands on things like milk from local farmers. Don't ask me, I won't release their names, I won't release where they live, because people around here are psycho. The big farmers around here are psycho. You release anything and they will clamp down on you so fucking hard. It's unreal. It's ridiculous how
she gets some
sorry?
Get some goats.
Yep. We're setting up the corral for next year to get a cow or two. And we don't quite have the stuff set up for goats, because they're apparently goats are very destructive. We have a corral on the yard, but it's set up for cows. So this year we're just going to get milk and meat and stuff from local farmers, and then we're going to save up our money this year from all the money that we've saved buying groceries and stuff over the winter to buy a cow next year. And eventually I'd love to get like a milking cow, but yes, goats are absolutely on the list just because they're small. Depending on the breed, like those Lambas, I believe they're called, they're really good in Newtians. I don't know if there's anybody out there listening that actually has goats that knows what I'm talking about. You're probably going to laugh at me right now for pronouncing these really stupid. But, yeah, there are good milking goat breeds. So that is the plan in the future. This year we're just kind of getting a piss load of chickens from family. We have a family member who's going to be hatching a bunch of chickens for us to start really picking it up a notch with the whole homesteading stuff, to be very self-sufficient and save some serious coin that we don't get from the government, just working our own way, if that makes sense, trading and selling stuff, and any cash we get is usually worked with our own hands unless somebody gifts us some, which is always highly appreciated. I'm not asking people to give me money, please. I'm not asking. Sometimes people do, and that's really appreciated. Sorry?
You're friends with Rob Paget, are you not?
I am. He's not on Facebook anymore, but he's on Steemit, and he does regular blogging on Steemit. That man is just, he is incredible.
He's the man who talks about sustainability, and he is sovereign, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything there is to know about.
The best part about him is he lives in northern Alberta, so it's fairly similar when it comes to climate, because I find a lot of this homesteading stuff, it's like down in the States in like Texas and stuff, and like all these places that it's like, okay, that's really great, but I need something that can not only withstand plus 40, but I need something that can withstand like minus 40 blowing winds too. So his stuff is, like Mika said, it's really thorough. He does, like, earth ships, and, oh, my God, he is absolutely incredible. You can find him on Steemit at White Walking.
For that kind of temperature, you need, like, a wallopini or two as well. Anything to grow. Anything that you can grow in the winter.
Yep.
A gasifier. I'm sure Nathan can throw one together.
Yeah, we could definitely. I was looking at rocket mass heaters. The problem with our house currently is currently it's under mortgage, and currently it needs to have insurance in order to stay under mortgage. So I am trying to talk to the insurance company to see if they're willing to have wiggle room with rocket mass heaters and stuff, but we will see.
A gasifier is a step up from a mass heater.
Is it?
Yeah, it's one of the older technologies. You can use the gas for everything. You can light your stove with it off wood. You can run your car on it off wood.
Hmm.
Wood gasification. You should look into it. It's basically a mass heater. But it works.
Sorry?
It works more efficiently than a gas heater. It works more efficiently. Okay. You're taking 8 cords of wood and you're only using 1 for the entire season.
Gasifier. Okay. I will be researching that tonight.
Wood gasifier.
I've got a couple.
Everybody should know that.
Okay. So everybody out there, make sure you look up gasifier.
Yeah, I've made 3 of them. And they work really well. I was making one when I left British Columbia last time, and I left it in the guy's driveway. I didn't want to travel across Canada with it. This thing's huge.
Mhm. I remember you showed that when we came to your place, and I was just like, "What the hell is this?" And yeah, it was like the coolest fucking thing. And it was big, but it wasn't like so big that it was like this is not. You could even move it. I mean, you could pick it up and move it.
Yeah, you put it on a dolly or something.
Yeah.
But that's wood gasification. It's one of the oldest technologies in the world, but the government doesn't want you to know about it because it's so efficient, they wouldn't be able to sell you gas.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to definitely...
But yeah, if Nathan knows how to weld, he can put it together pretty quick. If he learned how to do it. It's not that hard. You can get the plans online. There's one right from FEMA.
Huh.
You can download the gasifier plans from FEMA, if you can imagine that. Did they use
it? Wow. Huh.
So,
these
are the people that are lying to you all your lives, and they have the technologies that they don't want you to have. I know I have a friend in Tilbury who's been driving around in his pickup truck with a gasifier on the back of it for 20 years. He's never bought gas. I'm not kidding.
Holy crap.
I'll send you a link. Or you can just download it.
Or just look for it.
Guy in Tilbury, gasifier truck.
Gasifier truck.
And with the price of gas being $1.50 right now,
I mean, come on, everybody wants that. It looks like shit.
I mean, you got this big tank on the back of your car, but when all you have to do is fill up, you just pull on the side of the road and pull some dead wood off the ground and throw it in your heater, and there you go again.
Wow. Yeah, there's a bunch of tutorials. Gas fire truck how to, part 1, gas fire truck part 2, does a gas fire truck. Yeah, all these. Oh, wow. That's incredible. I am so checking that out because that would save us so much fucking money on gas. Oh my god.
Yeah. Cooking and everything. It's the best thing you can do. It's the best way to go. Unless you got solar.
Well,
solar helps too.
Yeah.
Permaculture, solar.
Permaculture is huge. I'm eventually going to try and turn our yard into a giant, like, prairie-based permaculture center.
Yeah,
so
you can heat your house on compost. You can use compost to cook your food.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these different things people know, but people don't know them.
No.
Because they're not taught.
No, they definitely don't. Which is too bad, because if everybody knew about these things and everybody was willing to shut off their TV for like an hour or two a day, and like everybody was willing to start participating in these things, like the people that are at the top and telling you how to run your life and have you under so much fear and have you under so much debt for all this crap that you don't need, they would like lose their power.
Yeah, imagine if the government told you that stuff in school when you were growing up for that 12-step indoctrination program they call school. You know,
mm-hmm.
they'd be out of business. They'd be out of business in a heartbeat.
People would graduate, they'd never need the government for anything, and they'd manifest their own lives their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Just by knowing. And that's the same thing about sovereignty. When you go into court, you have to know. You know, you have to study. You can't just pretend. There's no magic bullet. There's no piece of paper that's going to save your life. You have to know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's not something you can get somebody to do for you. So there's no lawyers. You got to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
lawyers are out there to facilitate the length of time that you're in court so that all the bailiff and the clerk and everybody else gets paid. That's the only reason lawyers are even exist. They're there to continue the court until you can't pay anymore, and then the judge is going to have a render a verdict that day because you can't pay anymore.
Yeah.
It always works that way. You tell your lawyer you can't pay him, the judge is going to have a verdict that day.
Huh.
I guarantee it always happens that way.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's about. Money. Believe me, my wife is a lawyer. My ex-wife is a lawyer. So I know exactly how that works.
Yeah.
And she makes $1,500 an hour.
Holy shit.
Sorry?
I said, holy shit, that's a lot of money. But
I know.
We're at the end of our time, though, so we gotta get going. Proof Negative show is coming up next, and I want to say a huge thank you, Mika, for coming on the air. We're going to have you back if you're okay with that. I do these shows every Wednesday, so I'd love to have you again to have a full 90 minutes to be able to talk to you. But you can find him on Facebook, Mika Razilia. I can't pronounce that with a shit. I fuck it up every time. So I want to say a huge thank you for everybody who's listening today, and I want to say a big thank you to you, Mika, for being there for me, my family, and for coming on the air today to share what you know. We're absolutely going to have you back, if you're okay with that.
All right.
Perfect. So we will catch you guys again next week. Have a very happy Wednesday evening, and stay tuned for that Proof Negative show, that Real Patriot News. Have a good evening, guys. Bye-bye.